official podcast of JetNation.com, the largest independent fan site in the NFL. Be sure to check out our forums and talk all things Jets with thousands of other diehard Jets fans. Now, to get you up to date on all the latest Jets news, notes, and quotes, here's your host, Glenn Naughton.
Good evening, Jets fans. I am on Nation Radio. Thank you so much for tuning in. Apologies for not being able to get a show in last week. Had some things come up and thought we'd push it back to this week because, as it stands, this is a slower time of year. But there were some difficulties as well. I didn't even realize it. The previous week where we got cut off, continued doing the show for about 20 minutes until I got the notification. So I apologize for that. But that was a list, top free agents per PFF and some other lists and who we think the Jets should be targeting. Made it to about, I think we got to about Golden Tate last week at 16. And I take that back. We did get as far as Sheldon Richardson, 19. We may move a little faster this week because getting through the number of guys we have left will take a little bit. And then next week's show, we'll dig a little deeper and go outside that to the lower level guys who could still have an impact. And sometimes, I mean, those are some of the key guys, really. It's finding those guys that aren't, you're not laying out mega dollars for, who can be big contributors. And there are always plenty of those in free agency. Was looking at a few of those guys the other day, and there are some very interesting names out there. So we'll carry on from where we left off last week. So we left off with Sheldon Richardson. Not a guy that I could see coming back, to be honest. I think he's somebody the Jets would want to bring back after his first stint here. And I think they want to go in, you know, a little bit younger, a little less controversial, and really a guy who produces more. I mean, Sheldon Richardson, as I said, just so disappointing in terms of talent versus production. Hasn't been nearly as good as a lot of people thought he would be after that breakout rookie year. Next guy on the list is HaHa Clinton Dix, and he's a safety, so he is not going to be a Jet. That's when we can move right over. That's just not going to happen. The next guy, interesting name because I've seen some people link it to the Jets due to his connection with Adam Gase, former Dolphins tackle Juwan James. Now, this is a guy who's one of the better tackles in free agency, but for those of you linking him to Adam Gase, probably didn't hear the interview in which Juwan James claimed that under Gase, the Dolphins were basically without an identity, and he basically ripped Gase preparation methods. And don't forget, James is a player who was pulled out of games by Gase for playing poorly at times, and that's not something that goes over well, especially with some of the players that coaches deal with nowadays. Egos are a big thing. So Juwan James, is he a good player? Yes. Would he be an upgrade? Yes. Is Adam Gase going to want to bring in a guy who just told the world that Adam Gase was a head coach? I seriously doubt it. I mean, stranger things have happened. Could be something was taken out of context. I don't know. But I would say that's highly unlikely. Next guy on the list, Shaquille Barrett. Now, he's an interesting guy. I remember looking at him last offseason as a possible trade target for the Jets because of the fact that the Broncos have a good number of edge rushers, and Barrett's a guy who they probably could have gotten a mid-round pick for. He's been basically a situational player for them, but he has been effective as a pass rusher and not a bad player, and he'll probably get more money than a lot of people realize. And if you're the Jets and you're looking at adding an edge guy, he could be an option that, even though people aren't talking about him, he's a good player and, again, would offer a nice upgrade there. So he's a player we would definitely be in favor of the Jets targeting. Bryce Callahan, cornerback from the Bears, comes in at 23. Now, he's a slot guy, and I really like Parry Nickerson, you know, based on what we saw from him in training camp. and I think he fits more as a slot guy, but I would have no objection to bringing in Bryce Callahan to push him a little bit. And, I mean, let's face it, at this point, it's about bringing in talented players, which Bryce Callahan definitely is. So there's another guy, a couple guys in a row on this list that that would definitely fit in with the Jets. Might be more important than any of them if the Jets were to go after him. That's Roger Saffold. He's a guard for the Rams. Now, he's 31, or he will be turning 31. He's a guy who's probably got a good 3-4 years left in the tank. If you can get Saffold in here on a 3-year deal, then that would absolutely make sense for this team. I mean, we know about the O-line. We know they need an upgrade. We know they need to, you know, especially as a run-blocking unit. They were so bad last year as a run-blocking group that it really hurt the, you know, they're not the best pass blockers in the world. We know that. Discuss about the ranking, you know, 16th, 18th in the league, depending on who you're looking at. But the fact of the matter is, when you can't run the ball at all, it's going to make pass blocking that much harder. So they need to improve in the run game first, and that'll make things a little easier in the passing game. But Saffold's a guy who could, you know, be a big step in making that happen. He's probably not going to break the bank at 31, but he'll come in at a, you know, you'll pay a decent, pretty penny for him. But he's a guy who can step in and start, play at a high rate away. Completely, you know, would definitely be behind that move. Tyrann Mathieu, next on the list. Another safety, just not going to happen. You know, unless Greg Williams looks at him as a guy he can move around to play several different spots, because he can play the slot, he can play safety. He might be a guy that they look at, but I don't see safety being a spot where they spend significant money. Not that Tyrann Mathieu is going to demand a ton of money, but I think it's more than they'll want to spend on that position, having already, you know, at safety. Tackle Trent Brown is next. I'd avoid him. And PFF points this out in their grades or in their ratings. Basically, he's a guy who played well for the Pats, but too many guys play well for the Pats and are terrible elsewhere. And he wasn't, he wasn't a very highly regarded guy before leaving San Francisco to go to the Patriots. C.J. Mosley, linebacker. He's a guy, you know, he's got some versatility and he's a good player. But I don't see the money there. I think they're, you know, you may see them add a lower end guy, lower level depth guy. But you know, one of the keys there is going to be Kevin Pierre-Louis and how, you know, what his health status is, because he missed a lot of time in the last year. And I think the Jets, you know, based on, you look at what they paid him, I think they expected to get him on the field a bit more. If they think he can put the injury bug behind him, He's a better player than people realize, or I think he can be a better player than people realize. So that would definitely be when the Jets are looking at their depth at linebacker. Next up would be Texans cornerback Kareem Jackson. Now the Jets can use some, you know, they can use some help there. They have Tremaine Johnson, who hopefully will bounce back and play as well under Greg Williams as he did a couple years ago. And, of course, Morris Claiborne is due to be a free agent, but maybe you bring him back on a team. You know, we've talked about Claiborne. He's not an all-pro. He's not a great player, but he's a solid corner, and there's not a lot of those in the league right now, and not a lot of them get to free agency, or if they do, you end up spending an awful lot. The Jets have gotten him relatively cheap the last couple of years due largely to his injury history. But Kareem Jackson's a guy who can he's got some versatility. He's played a little bit of safety there in Houston, so he's a guy that I would consider. Preston Smith, another edge rusher, had himself a nice season in 2018 as a starter. And again, the Jets are so thin at edge rusher that you'd be hard pressed to find one. Anyone who's going to make a top 50 list of the best free agents on the market, anyone who plays edge is probably going to be an upgrade. And that's not to take anything away from guys like, you know, Brandon Copeland, who had a nice year last year, Frankie Louvu, who did some good things as a rookie. You know, they have some talent there, but that doesn't mean they can't upgrade. This team is probably, I think if they stand pat at 3 as much as they would probably like to trade down, if this team stands pat at three, they're probably taking Josh Allen. So that's going to, you know, I would assume that, but of course, free agency is going to kick off well before the draft. So teams are going to be making moves and filling holes before the draft rolls around. And don't forget, you know, as we've discussed before on this show, you can't rule out the possibility of the Jets looking to and unload Jordan Jenkins during the during or after the draft, even if it's for a late round pick. Jenkins, solid player, good against the run, had 7 sacks last year, but may not be an ideal 4-3 guy. And we've talked about possibly seeing him move to defensive end in Greg Williams' scheme. But either way, a position change or a complete change of scenery for Jordan Jenkins might be in the cards. So we'll see what happens there. Jason McCourtney is next on the list. He's a corner, of course. He has a well, that, you know, he's not 100% sure he'll be back. I think any thoughts of signing him are a pipe dream. I think he's going to be back in New England with the Patriots. And, you know, I would expect him, if he doesn't retire, to land back in Foxborough. Teddy Bridgewater, we know he's not coming here. Thank you, Teddy, for landing us that 3rd-round pick. That'll come in handy. And again, super classy guy. You know, wish nothing but the best for Teddy. Za'Darius, and he's a guy that, as PFF mentions, he wasn't a huge name going into last year, but he had himself a really productive season, had a ton of quarter pressures, and is a guy who, you know, you have to, anytime you get these guys who have that one breakout year, as he heads toward free agency, you always got to worry about those guys. Because you just don't know that when, you know, without a track record, unless you're talking about giving a 1-year deal, which he may be. So possibly a reason why he's that low on the list. And we'll see if teams buy into what he was able to do. Anthony Barr is next. Vikings linebacker who highly touted guy out of college. And has had some really good moments with the Vikings, but I'm not sure. Not sure what kind of money he's going to command. Plays on the inside, can play a little bit on the outside, does a lot of different things for Minnesota. And I've actually seen his name kind of bounced around and floated by some pundits as a possible fit with the Jets. But I wouldn't expect it, but it's one of those that wouldn't shock me. Solid vet, but as I said, I think when it comes to linebacker, we're going to see it addressed in the draft and lower level free agents. Barr to me isn't that low end guy where he's going to command a bit more money. But we will see. We'll see how that goes. Next on the list, Jared Cook, tight end. Now, I'm not sure about you guys, but I actually wouldn't mind if the Jets went out and got themselves a tight end in the draft. Even with Chris Herndon having the very good rookie season he had, I love the idea of adding another tight end, an inline guy who can block, who can catch, make this offense that much more potent, you know, give that offense, make it an offense that can be multiple with two guys who can block. Is Jared Cook that guy at 32 years old? Probably not. But again, it's the balancing act here is that obviously the Jets have plenty of holes and plenty of cap space and not a lot of draft picks. So obviously they're going to have to address a lot of issues with, you know, through free agency. So I wouldn't mind Cook on a 1 or 2 year deal. He's, you know, the guy can still play even though he is 32, but I look at this tight end draft, the depth in this class at tight end. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, if the Jets can recoup a 2 in a deal, or if they want to take one at the top of the 3rd round, I wouldn't have a lot of problems with that because, you know, they need as many weapons as possible. And I'm a big fan of having these 6'6", 6'7" big guys over the middle of the field, giving Sam Darnold multiple options. So whether or not they address tight end, but Cook at 32, I would say is unlikely wouldn't be a terrible signing, but that's one position I'm intrigued to see if the Jets decide to do anything there in the draft. Trey Boston, he's another safety, so we're not even going to get into that. After Trey Boston, we've got everyone's favorite quarterback, Ryan Fitzpatrick. And I think that pretty much says it all there. Ziggy Ansah's next. Ziggy Ansah, another interesting guy. 4-3 D. He's getting up there in years. And he's battled injuries. I don't think you see somebody like him come in unless he's willing to take small money, which I don't see happening. Even though he's been hurt, even though his production has dropped, he's still an edge guy. And those guys just don't come cheap. So Ziggy Ansah, better fit, because I saw people saying a year or two ago the Jets should go after him. Not really a fit in a 3-4, but now going to a 4-3 would make more sense. But I just don't see it, given the injuries, the dip in production. It wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. Henry Anderson, the soon-to-be former Jet, wish him well, but he's not going to be a fit in a 4-3 either. So, but I do hope he goes on to have himself a nice career, because clearly a hard worker, was a nice upgrade this season over Mo Wilkerson. And, you know, best of luck to him. Cornerback Steve Nelson. He's a guy in Kansas City. He gave up a lot of big plays. So he'll probably get, you know, he'll get a decent contract from somewhere, because he's a corner. But, excuse me, he's not a guy that I would expect the Jets to target. One guy that I would expect them to target, though, next on the list, is Mitch Morse. Now, if Matt Paradis hits free agency, I think he would probably be the target. But I'd prefer Mitch Morse. Basically, Paradis or Morse, you take, and you're happy with either. Paradis probably the better all-around player, but Mitch Morse, you know, superior pass blocker and a much, much younger player. And where was that? It's not on here. I saw a stat earlier. He hasn't given up a sack in like 1,500 consecutive snaps or something insane like that. That's definitely not the type of pass blocking Jets fans have become accustomed to up the middle on that offensive line. Tyre Williams, San Diego Chargers wide receiver. Things, and he's a guy who I've seen, you know, some pundits feel like he's gonna knock a lot of people and get an opportunity to be a number one or a number two somewhere. I wouldn't be opposed to bringing the guy in. Again, the Jets do need some better play at receiver, or just some more depth, I should say. The Jets need depth and health, and better decision making off the field, because if Robbie and Inunua can stay healthy, and I've said this before, and now especially with the emergence of Herndon, I think they'll be all right at receiver. And, you know, we've talked before, and we'll when we get to the Antonio Brown conversation, which you've got to have at this point, because everyone's having it. Crazy stuff with him shooting his way out of Pittsburgh. Linebacker KJ Wright, we'll lump him in with the other linebackers, as I said. Wouldn't expect any big money to be spent there, even though the Jets can afford it. I think they're happy with what they have. You know, you just gave Williamson the big deal. The way he ended the season, obviously with the drug conviction or the drug suspension, you'd be looking at I guess you can't rule out the Jets trying to get his eventual replacement. But KJ Wright, I doubt he's that guy. He's another slightly older, you know, 29, 30-year-old player. I don't see them going after him. Dante Fowler, edge rusher. You know what? He's a guy. He would be an upgrade. Highly touted guy. Jets reportedly love him. I'd say pass. His lack of production on a defensive line, they consisted of Aaron Donald and Ndamukong Suh, and Fowler still really couldn't get to the quarterback consistently. He's had some off-field stuff. Not worth it to me. The lack of production and the presence of some bad decision making. I would pass on Dante Fowler. although I fear the Jets won't. And I think he's a guy they will target. But we'll see, you know, we'll find out, you know, here in a few weeks. To number 44 on the list here, Bradley Roby. Didn't play well as a starter this year. I honestly liked Roby a lot coming out. I think it was Ohio State, if I'm not mistaken. Liked him a lot. Good length, rangy guy. But reportedly didn't play very well last season. But I'll tell you what, for the right price, I would take him and play him opposite Tremaine Johnson and see what Greg Williams can get with that. Cole Beasley next on the list. Slot guy, slot receiver. Good player, but I don't know. I'm probably at this point I'm a big believer in Deontay Brett and the chemistry he has with Sam Darnold. The way he played in limited reps, I would like to see Burnett get the shot. So Beasley is a guy, you know, hopefully the Jets pass on. Number 46, Muhammad Wilkerson. There. Ty Nischke's a tackle for Washington. He's been a part-time guy, mixed in a couple starts here and there, and did a solid job. Wasn't overpowering, but a solid player. So as a depth guy or a guy to compete for a job, absolutely. I think that if the Jets don't feel like it's enough of an upgrade over what they have, maybe you don't go out and spend that money. But if you think he can maybe replace Kelvin Beachum next year, because Beachum is still, you know, and we'll talk about that a little bit later on too. Beachum's salary versus performance, and considering what he's currently have, we'll see if you guys agree. But I think that, you know, I think Beachum is a guy who sticks around for another year. John, wide receiver. Says PFF says he had 370 deep yards and over 1,000 total receiving yards in 2015. I remember he had that big breakout year. He kind of fell off the map after that. They've had some bad play down there, so that could be a reason for it. But as a guy who's still youngish and has shown he can be an effective deep receiver, somebody will bring him in. I doubt it's the Jets, given their situation at receiver. You know, they have a guy in Robbie Anderson already who can be mainly a deep guy, although he has developed his route tree clearly. Pierre Desir, cornerback for Indianapolis. Cover two corner, so he may not fit what the Jets want to do. And if I remember, I feel like I read up on him last offseason. I don't know if he was a free agent or if we knew he was going to be a free agent this year, but I remember seeing and thinking, and it's in here too, that he's not a great option in man coverage, and that's what the Jets are going to be doing a lot of. And then at number 50, Cam Wake, the guy is 1,000 years old and gets 12 sacks a season, and it feels like 8 of them come against Brandon Shell. I think if you sign Cameron Wake, it makes Brandon Shell better because he doesn't have to face him and get beat up by him twice a year. But Cam Wake at 37, I don't see him going anywhere but Miami. He's been there forever. He's played well there forever. And let's be honest, he's played well enough to earn himself another contract with them, you know, probably of the 1 or 2 year variety. And we'll discuss, actually, rumor to discuss real quick. We'll start with actual news that turned out not to be a rumor. The Jets did part ways with Spencer Long. He was due $6.5 million, and the Jets basically, after the year he had, they figured they would rather have the cap space. I was not shocked by that, but I wouldn't have been against them keeping him on board. As I said previously on the show, the need for depth on the offensive line across the league, I would have liked having a guy at left guard and center, but the Jets obviously felt free. They let him go. And the cap money, the Jets cap situation after parting ways with Spencer Long now puts them, and this is according to overthecap.com, excuse me, the Jets are sitting at $95 million in cap space after letting Spencer Long go. And then the rumor we were going to mention that Isaiah Crowell may not be far behind. Running back Isaiah Crowell has played only 1 year with the team. but due to count for $5 million against the cap this season, Jets would save $3 million by letting him go. That would put them right at $98 million in cap space play with going into free agency. And I think, I mean, Crowell is he's a good player. We saw that from him in Cleveland. We saw that with a decent O-line, decent run blocking, he's a guy who can average, you know, four and a half yards a carry. I think, 4.8 a couple years ago with the Browns. And that was with bad QB. That was with terrible QB play when teams could, you know, easily stack the line. But Cleveland's run blocking was good enough that Crowell was still able to make some plays. Just didn't happen with the Jets. You know, I hate to keep beating the drum, but and really you can't even say, you know, I've given Todd Bowles a number of players who regressed under him, but you can't even really say Crowell, because it was a combination of two. It was the run blocking just wasn't very good, and just the offense as a whole often struggled to get going. And, you know, again, meant teams could stack the box against a bad blocking team. And so Crowell was never going to get things going here. But I think now, I think the Jets are looking at free agency. I think the Jets are looking at the draft. And they realize that Le'Veon, and how, I mean, I don't know, as a Jets fan, how that wouldn't be exciting. I mean, I know there are people who still don't want to pay premium money for a running back, which, again, in the past I would have agreed with. This is a different situation. You finally have a franchise quarterback. You want to get him every high-quality weapon you can. You've got all the cap space in the world. It's a no-brainer. Bell. And I think that's what it's plan on doing. And I think that if they don't, they'll bring in a back via the draft or another, you know, another free agent. But several rumors now swirling that Isaiah Crowell will be sent packing. And that is after. Oh, sorry, we have a breaking story here. Okay. So this is big, because this is a potentially explosive player who the Jets met with at the Senior Bowl. This reportedly, according to Ian Rappaport and Tom Pelissero, Louisiana Tech edge rusher Jalen Ferguson has had his combine invite stripped as he was convicted of simple battery. Oh, come on. Because he got into a fight at McDonald's as a freshman and a public intoxication charge. All right. Well, you know, I mean, you want to disinvite a guy for beating up his girlfriend? I get it. Disinvite a guy because when he was an 18-year-old kid, he had a beer and got into a fight with someone. Again, whatever, to each his own. I think the league is, I think that's a little bit silly. You know, from what it says, you know, simple battery. I doubt he put anyone's life in danger. It's like it was a scrap at McDonald's when he was, you know, a few years younger. Dumb kid, made a dumb choice. Whatever it is, if the guy can play, he's a pass rusher. Teams are not going to give a damn if you punch somebody in the face at McDonald's 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was. He will be a highly coveted guy, very explosive, very fast off the edge. And again, the Jets did meet with him early on at the Senior Bowl. So hopefully, I mean, I hope that's the guy they're talking. I would imagine it is. As we've said, they need to sort out the edge situation. And on the wide receiver situation, as I said a little while ago, Antonio Brown, our best receiver in the NFL. He's got a million Pro Bowls. He's got some All-Pro awards, you know, All-Pro team. And he's making $21, $22 million a year, which is not enough to make him want to stay where he is. He's basically shooting his way out of Pittsburgh. Didn't show up week 17 when the Steelers needed him. It's been a back and forth through the public, through the media since that time. And they reportedly officially requested a trade from the Steelers. and went on Twitter to tweet the Steelers Nation, thanks for the support for 9 years, yada, yada, yada. Now, he requested a trade, and I mean, I think the Steelers have to trade him, which is crazy, because the cap hit they're gonna have to absorb for letting him go is, I want to say it's $21 million. I mean, let's be honest, that is just crazy. And they are, I mean, you know, you see these ugly situations between teams and players that happen during negotiation period, free agency, you know, battling through the media. You may see it when a guy's played a few years, you know, through his deal, you know, most of his deal is finished up. But Brown has played, what, 2 years of a 5-year deal? And after year two, he's demanding a trade? That's some craziness right there. And he is, he's got some huge guarantees coming up in future years under that contract. And if I'm the Steelers, man, here it is right here. Dead money. If they were to cut Antonio Brown, the Steelers will have 21. I mean, that's insane. And their caps, let's see what their caps situation all around. Yeah, that would actually put them in, they would be over the cap. They currently have $19 million in cap space. Trading Antonio Brown would be a $21 million hit. So I don't know how realistic it is, but I don't know what else you do at this point if you're the Steelers. Now, if you're the Jets, do you go out and try to get Antonio Brown? I say no. I say you're talking about a guy who's been in the league for 9 years, and I don't know. I don't want a guy who shoots his way out of town when he just got a $21 million a year deal. I mean, and he's with a team that's winning. I mean, he's got the money, he's got the status, he's got the accolades, he's on a team that's a legitimate Super Bowl contender. I mean, those are supposed to be like the things you want as a player. Sometimes it's one or the other. Some guys legitimately want to win. Other guys could care less and they just want the money. He's got both and he wants to leave. So what's it going to take to make that guy happy? You know, there are reports that he was unhappy in Pittsburgh because Juju Smith-Schuster was growing in popularity and he was losing targets to him. Do you really want that guy in the huddle with Sam Darnold? Do you want him in the locker room? If a guy who, you know, is going to be complaining about his targets after a win, how do you feel? Oh man, I didn't get enough targets today. I don't think that the Jets are going to want that as part of their culture. And I think it's going to be interesting to see what teams are willing to give up for a guy with a big price tag. And a high level of drama, and I get the intrigue. I don't know, and I've discussed this on the show before, and I, you know, thinking about it again the other day, that to me there's too many elite receivers, and I'm talking elite, upper echelon, best of the best, Hall of Fame types. And Antonio Brown is one of them. I'm talking about guys at that level over the last 10, 15 years who don't win. Teams with those guys rarely win Super Bowls. Antonio Brown's been in the league 9 years, no Super Bowls. Odell Beckham, not quite as long, no Super Bowls. Julio Jones, no Super Bowls. Granted, he went to one, they blew it, but still no Super Bowls. Some of the best guys before them, T.O., Randy Moss, no Super Bowls. So while, yeah, the thought of having a number one receiver is nice, a legit number one elite, yeah, if you can get one, fine. They have to have one to compete. Is Julian Edelman elite? Because that's who the Patriots just won a Super Bowl with. The Eagles won one the year before. Their top receiver was a tight end. When the Broncos won it, They didn't have a guy as good as Julio Jones or Antonio Brown. Same for the Seahawks. Look at the last 10, 15 years. Look at all the guys who were legitimate Hall of Fame candidates and how many of them have Super Bowl rings. And then look at the teams. You know, you could say, oh, well, not they're not all going to win rings. Okay, great, they're not. Now let's look at the last 15 Super Bowl winners. How many of them have a Hall of Fame receiver on there? 15. You don't have to have an elite receiver. You need a deep receiving core. You need, you know, 3-4 guys you can replace. And I think the Jets are close to having that already with Quincy, Robbie, and Herndon. Again, I understand, you know, there's health issues and concerns there. That's why I'm saying they still should, you know, look to add a body there. But I'll tell you what, I'm not in favor of bringing in Antonio Brown, and I don't think that adding I saw Demaryius Thomas was released, and he played some pretty good ball under Gates in Miami. Maybe he's a target, but you know, he's a vet guy. I mean, again, I'm not saying I don't want them to add a receiver. I just don't want them to add a guy who wants all the money in the world and who's going to complain and get upset when he doesn't get enough targets and cause drama in the huddle, in the locker room, whatever it may be. I don't see a need for that. I see a need for just adding more quality bodies. And that's going to be one of the Jets' goals this offseason. And free agency now. What are we in February? So like mid-March. So we're about 6 weeks away from free agency. On next week's show, as I said, we will. And I say, actually, I want to mention that as well. Had a couple messages, and we've had some over the past 7-8 months. I honestly can't even remember how long I've been doing the show solo. People, which I 100% agree. We've been approached by some people who have asked if they could join the Jet Nation team and be part of the podcast. One of them was funny. One of them got a message from somebody saying, "Hey, I'd love to join your show. I guess Joe's not there anymore." And I clicked on the bio and it was a Giants fan. And I was like, I'm not sure you get how this works. We're not looking to add Giants fans. Have a beer with you? Fine. That's cool. Joining the Jets podcast in a Giants jersey? Not so much. But yeah, we totally agree. That's in the works. We're looking at a few different people. And we plan on adding somebody sooner rather than later. Because, you know, I don't mind rambling on. But it is nice to have somebody to bounce ideas off of. And maybe the occasional debate or, dispute, which always adds a little. Bear with us. That is something that is in the works. Do appreciate you listening as often as you. And it's about to get exciting, folks. It really is, because this is probably the worst time of year, because the news is going to be trickling in. They're, you know, very unlikely we'll see any big moves, and nothing's going to happen till free agency. Well, at least, you know, normally nothing till free agency. So we've got about 6 weeks till things get really interesting. And once draft prep starts, we know how nuts that gets. I'm holding off as long as I can till we go in depth on the draft, because and I tweeted this the other day. I think this is a new personal record. I'm already tired of mock drafts. I really am. It's just even the top guys, the McShays and the Mel Kuypers of the world, by the time this thing is over, they will have mocked about 17 different players to the Jets. I saw they mocked another defensive tackle out of Michigan. I watched him a little bit. He looks like a one-move guy. He, a lot of bull rushing. That it works in college, but you got to add more to your repertoire in the NFL. And if the Jets used a third overall pick on a lineman who's just good at pushing people backwards, I'll tell you, I mean, if it's Quinnen Williams, I can live with it if you're going to take a D lineman. But otherwise, it better be, and you it better be Bosa fell and you take him, or you take Josh Allen, or you trade down. And I tweeted this out the other day, and it got a fairly positive response. And I asked people, how would you feel if the Jets took Jonah Williams round one? You keep Kelvin Beachum for one more year at tackle, and you let Jonah Williams play left guard. Then Beachum leaves as a free agent, and then you kick Williams out there. There seems to be debate as to whether or not Williams is the prototypical guy. His arms to be too short. I've heard varying viewpoints. I listened to a few podcasts the other day. I generally don't listen to a lot of podcasts, but I've been getting up early in the mornings doing some morning errands. So I've started downloading a few podcasts I normally don't listen to. And I think it was a PFF one the other day, and they were saying, short arms be damned. The guy is such an amazing technician. He's going to be able to play left tackle in the NFL. That's how scouts feel about that. But, you know, that was one thing I threw out there. Do you draft Williams, let him play left guard, move him to left tackle next year? Kelvin Beachum, to me, I said it last offseason, I wish he was a better run blocker, but I still think you could live with him for one more season at left tackle. I think at $9.5 million, he is the 19th highest paid left tackle in the NFL, and that is not bad for a guy who is probably going to get you a pass blocking grade that's somewhere in, not going to be elite, but he's going to do a good job as a pass blocker. And if, you know, you can't address every single critical need in one offseason, especially at the critical positions, you're not going to get a pass rusher, an edge rusher, or I'm sorry, you're not going to get an elite left tackle, an elite pass rusher, and an elite corner when you have one first round pick, even if you add some picks. So, you know, what the Jets do from there, if they feel like they can get a pass rusher, if like they can get a corner, you know, some people talk about greedy Williams trade down. I don't know how I'd feel about that. I haven't, honestly, greedy Williams is a guy I haven't watched much of up to this point. But I think it's got to be priority number one has to be edge rusher. If not an edge, if so, or Josh Allen aren't there, you got to try to trade down. And I could even say that those two options are tied for my top choice. I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with Allen or Bosa. Quentin Williams, I could live with, because, I mean, I don't want to say the guy is Warren Sapp, but that's who comes to mind when I watch him, for me anyway. And I mean, that you're talking Hall of Fame D linemen. Allen or Bosa, maybe Quinnen, or a trade down. Those should be priorities going into this draft. And if you trade down and you end up at 7 or 8, maybe that's where you take a Jonah Williams. Let him play left guard, move him to left tackle. But having said, I'm going to avoid talking draft for at least a couple more weeks, because they saturate us with this stuff, folks. We're running in draft talk a few weeks from now. It happens every year, and I find myself, and I love the draft. I love it. It's one of my favorite events of the year. And you know what it is when I say that I'm tired of mock drafts? It's that I've seen too many mock drafts that don't have Allen or Bosa going to the Jets. And I just don't see it. I think if I had to put money on it, I would say if they stay at 3, it's Allen or Bosa. Unless those guys go 1-2, which would probably be great, because then somebody may panic and try to move up to 3 and grab the top quarterback, whoever that turns out to be when the draft rolls around. But anytime I see a Jets draft that isn't a trade down, Bosa or Josh Allen, I can say, no, this is ridiculous. And there are some of them out there. So it only took me seeing a few of those to make me just throw my arms up and say, never mind, enough with the drafts. But I think in the coming days and weeks, I'll have some more level-headed analysis, and I'll be back into it, because it's one of my favorite times of year, and we will start talking about it. I think next week's show, again, we will talk about the lower-end free agents. And then from that point on, it'll be agent rumors, which will be swirling by then. And then that's when we'll start getting into how each guy they sign affects the draft. And we then get into some deep draft talk. So shorter show tonight, given the, well, not too short. We did about 45 minutes. We'll cut it. We'll end it now, though. Just want to thank you all so much for tuning in. Apologize for not having last week's show. But we look forward to catching you next week. And again, deeper dive on free agency and, you know, any news, notes, or rumors that surface between now and then. Thank you so much for tuning in, and have a great day, Jets fans.
Thanks for listening. Be sure to follow Glenn on Twitter at AceFan23. And the show can be found at Jet Nation Radio. Until next time, go Jets!